Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Friday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
It's only Thursday.
Oh, today's Thursday. Oh, my goodness. I really have COVID brain. I really have. I thought today was Friday.
People all excited.
Amazing.
Today's Friday.
That's the second time this week I screwed up the day opening the show. I have a 500% this week right now of opening the show and saying it was the correct day.
C minus, J.
In the Hall of Famer.
Wow, that's not going to go on my Marconi reel. That is absolutely, that's not happening. Wait. Let's start again. Let's start again. Start it again. Start again,
Tyshirt. C minus already.
I know. Let's start it again. Here we go. Start again. Start again. Start again.
Okay, let's begin.
Let's begin.
Welcome to the Jason Smith Show.
All right, good start so far.
With Mike Harmon.
Wow.
On the show, there are a lot of double entendres.
The night of loving dangerously.
I want to smoke some meat.
I got two big cheeks.
I'd like to spank your bald head and lick it.
Eat that ass up.
Just maybe. One show, they won't be so immature.
Give daddy a kiss.
I don't like that one.
You guys are so gross.
Why don't we spice it up tonight?
Live from the Geico studios of FSR with Mike Harmon, here's Jason Smith.
All right, now I got to wait till the drums come in, and then it's Bill Belichick, and then we start. Wait, here comes. Okay, and... Greetings, welcome inside. Happy Thursday. Race fans. It's what a great Thursday it is. It is Thursday. Thursday. Happy Thursday. Mike Harmon, how is your Thursday? I can't believe you said it was Friday when we started the show.
I know. I was really out of sorts and really had some problems. No, a couple of good soccer workouts for the youngster today. She was getting after it. We continued our Glee marathon. I got a little bit of Avengers in and some music. So the soundtrack of our lives. A bunch of big important phone calls, trying to be a big muckety muck, and all of those things. So it was a good day. Fantastic day.
It was Thursday. Today
was a big Thursday.
Next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So
I did some speeding that I didn't get caught.
That's good.
Allegedly.
I think everybody does that. I think, well, now I have to turn you in because you admitted it on the radio. You admitted to a misdemeanor.
You don't know when down
or
distance.
No, you just said speeding. Doesn't matter. You admitted to it. You just admitted to speeding.
All right. I'll admit to not having seen what the posted speed limit was.
You just said you sped, though.
In a particular area.
No. Now you can't walk it back.
Assuming I was speeding.
You went from speeding to, maybe I was speeding. No, you were speeding. Now you're getting it where the cops are coming to your house right now. You're going to get arrested.
No, I can say this. If I knew you were going to flub
That's
the
gonna happen.
Opening and call it Friday,
well,
I wouldn't have had to have been speeding. I would have had a couple extra minutes to get to my destination.
Listen, I messed up the day. You committed a crime. I mean, there's a difference in that right there. I mean, you committed. Yeah. Suddenly, allegedly. My mailbox alleged theft doesn't look as great. It's pretty good. I said alleged. And also statute of limitations. That's up on that. But today is Bubble Elimination Thursday in the National Basketball Association as we're finally going to get the playoff picture solved for us at the bottom of the Western Conference, which has been the big piece of drama going on. The bubble comes, and clearly, as we told you when it would start, we'll get some excitement in the beginning, but then most teams are going to sit back, their seedings are secure, you're not really playing for home court, and all the drama is going to be the bottom of the Western Conference. They invited 47 teams to come play at the bottom of the West just to get the Pelicans in. Pelicans were eliminated before tonight, but what do we know right now? Well, it's pretty simple. Memphis, who came in and lost, luckily they had a big enough lead, they were able to win today over Milwaukee, who, remember, played without Giannis. None of their starters played more than 25 minutes. Milwaukee completely gave this game up. So Memphis, by virtue of their win, is in to the 8-9 game. The rest of it is pretty simple. If Portland beats Brooklyn right now, and they're about 4 minutes left to go before halftime, and Portland leads the Nets 60-57, Damian Lillard may need to score 65 or 70 points to make sure they win this one. He's got 13 so far. But again, still 4 minutes to go before halftime. If Portland wins, they go in the 8-9 game against Memphis. If Portland loses, it's Phoenix, who won again today. They go 8-0 in the bubble, and it still might not be enough. They beat Dallas 128-102, and clearly Dallas said, yeah, you know what, we don't need this game either. We're going to, you know, sit our guys. Luka Doncic is going to play 13 minutes, and you know, we're not even Porzingis, yeah, don't even worry about that. So clearly the teams that were playing for nothing rolled over today, but that's how it goes. But Phoenix 8-0 in the bubble, and it still might not be enough because they need Portland to lose this game against Brooklyn or they are out of the bubble. And right now, since it's an either-or situation, the Lakers are doing backflips because at least one really good team is out between Phoenix and Portland. One of them is going to be out. Phoenix is less dangerous. Phoenix is more hot than they are a great team. So you get to the playoffs, the newness of it for them. I know the Lakers would have a lot of problem with them, but still, you have the hottest team in the bubble is not going to be in the playoffs, or the most dangerous team that could sneak in, which is the Portland Trailblazers, if they win this game. So you either have the hottest team or the most dangerous team is not going to be in the 8-9 game. And if I'm the Lakers, I am wearing Nets hats. I am calling up Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving saying, hey, what can you do for us? Can you help us out here a little bit? Because no matter what you want to hear, the Blazers are a dangerous team. It's a Western Conference Finals team from a year ago. Their backcourt can hit threes and put up points like crazy. They are starting to get their supporting cast to really contribute. Nurkic is starting to come on. Carmelo Anthony is playing like it's 7 years ago, and he's back to being the terrific one-dimensional player he was before we thought his career was over. You know, Portland is dangerous. They are the dangerous team. That's the only team the Lakers really have to watch out for in the first round. Anybody else they play with, Memphis or Phoenix, it's not going to be that much of a difficulty for them. Portland's the team they got to watch out for. So you know they're sitting there. They're going, all right, we're ready to go. Come on, Kyrie. I think the world is flat, Kyrie. Help us out. I'll say, LeBron is saying, listen, I will tell everybody the world is flat if you can inspire the Nets to win this game so we can avoid having to play the Blazers. Please help us out with that.
I could just say this, though. I don't think any which way any of this is easy and goes according to some massive script. I'm not saying the Lakers get tested or ousted, you know, should any team but the Blazers be their first-round opponent. But I don't think it's a cakewalk either way. I mean, the rest of that squad beyond your top 10 NBA players and LeBron and AD, you know, you've got questions. And the shooting's been suspect, and the usual creature comforts and advantages of home court don't exist here. Not to mention, you've got Phoenix with a bunch of young guys who, let's just face it, they're just playing basketball, right? There was no agenda. Hey, they're giving us some extra time to work together. It's kind of like training for a bowl game. Let's go to work. And that's exactly what they did. And with the Blazers, you know, they have the good fortune of, oh, wow, it's a season torn asunder. Oh, wait, we had a four-month break, and now we get to go back and play, and everybody's healthy. So, I mean, they're playing with house money. Like, both those squads, I mean, are dangerous for that fact, is that neither of them really had any claims on a spot here should they be able to go and beat Memphis in the play-in series to go through it. So it's going to be fun to watch. And a lot of potential for chaos. And I don't know which way I'm rooting in this game now, right? As much as I've jumped on board the Blazers long, long ago as a, hey, look out, they're getting healthy with Collins, Nurkic, etc. There's also the charm of, hey, let's see Devin Booker, especially after Draymond Green's comments last week. So we got to get him out of Phoenix. Wait a minute. Now all of a sudden Phoenix is the team on the come and everybody's excited. I saw a couple of folks had immediate eligibility for Brooklyn for a guy and basically taking your naming convention of starting to rhyme with Devin Booker.
Yeah,
and
okay.
They drew different hair and a mustache on him and the whole thing saying, this guy's now available. I forget what the name was. It was kind of funny, though. So just a bit of chaos. And having a meaningful game at the end of this is really all that matters, right?
Yeah, look.
The fear was it was just a bunch of exhibitions that really had no weight. And now we have Giannis with the headbutt. It didn't matter for what they were trying to do because they'd already clinched the number one seed. But this game, to end it, you know, we got the Pelicans on the split screen, but, you know, it's done. This still has meaning, and people in Los Angeles are puckering up a little bit. Yeah, it's fun.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. So we've talked about all the teams, how they can win, how they can get in, who the Lakers would want to play, who they don't want to play. But one team we're not going to be seeing, and it's going to be something we haven't seen in the NBA for 22 years, the San Antonio Spurs, because this is how it ended for them.
So the Spurs see their season end with a record of 32-39, and for the first time in 22 years, the Spurs fail to make the postseason. They finish at 5-3 in the restart in Orlando, and the final score in Game 8 of the seeding games. The Utah Jazz defeat the San Antonio Spurs. The final score, 118-112.
Spurs Radio Network on the call. This is an end of an era for the Spurs as they don't make the playoffs for the first time 22 seasons. They went 20-62, had a horrendous year, missed the playoffs. Greg Popovich took over as head coach, and in the draft, the Spurs got lucky in the lottery and were able to land Tim Duncan, which turned them on a huge run that has lasted, well, the better part of 22 years, whether it was David Robinson and Tim Duncan and Avery Johnson. Then they moved on, and it was Tim Duncan-centric, and you brought in Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, and it was Sean Elliott, and that morphed into the later-on Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. No matter who it was, the Spurs found a way to make the playoffs, found a way to become a dynasty because they would win every few years. They were not your quintessential dynasty like the Lakers or the Warriors who won a lot of championships in a short amount of time. But over the course of 15 years, it was championship couple of years, championship couple of years, championship couple of years, championship couple of years. And now that this run is over, you know, it's one of those things when you sit back and look at it, and I realize I'm going to get ratioed to hell by San Antonio for this, but the Spurs, you know, dynasty, let's just say, the Spurs run, because now they're going to have to start over and do some things to get back to being a great team, and who knows what they can do. The Spurs run, it's first of all, it was a dynasty you would expect to see in sports in the 1970s, where the stars were all silent. They didn't say anything. There was no controversy. There was no personality. The head coach was grumpy all the time. He was rude. He was arrogant. And every few years, they won a championship. That's what dynasties looked like in the 1970s, right? It's why certain programs, certain events, I equate to Stonehenge, the Indiana basketball program. Boy, every time you see them play, you think back, boy, they were really something back 25 years ago. Now, what a wreck they are. But look what they were 25 years ago. Indiana basketball. The same thing with the Spurs, because this is a relic. You won't see a dynasty like this, because dynasties come about now, and they are about star players, and they are about being able to team up and go to big cities. We won't see that. You know, you won't see the Spurs. You won't see a team get lucky in the draft and have that move them and maneuver them for 15 years. A team gets lucky in the draft and has a great player. Nowadays, it's Damian Lillard with the Blazers. And maybe you get to the conference finals one year, but you're not going to rip off championship after championship. Your head coach is not going to stay for 20-some-odd years. You're not going to always get things right in the draft, which the Spurs did, in evaluating talent. And that's the number one thing that the Spurs always did. They evaluated talent better than anybody in the NBA. But this was not a dynasty that people paid attention to because, as I said, they were boring. The NBA tried to make the Spurs happen, and they couldn't. You couldn't make the Spurs happen no matter what you did. We'll put commercials on the air. We'll try to, you know, to tease the heck out of them like Duncan and Robinson or Jordan and Pippen, and it just wasn't the case. San Antonio was too small. And Tim Duncan did his thing, and he was boring. Greg Popovich, surly and rude. Average NBA fan cannot remember one defining play of a San Antonio Spurs championship. The big-time NBA fans can remember things like, okay, Sean Elliott's three when his feet are off the court. They remember big shots, against the Pistons to win the championship. Remember Tim Duncan. But the average NBA fan doesn't remember anything. The Spurs were a missed opportunity for the NBA to cash in on excellence, because they cashed in on the Lakers from the early 2000s, and then they got lost for a couple of years, but then they go to a couple of finals in a row, and they win in the late 2000s. They cash in on the Golden State Warriors, who did everything they did the past few years. Even the Cleveland Cavaliers, even though they weren't really a dynasty, they won once. They cashed in on LeBron because you're that big of a star, but they couldn't make the Spurs happen. And because they were a throwback to a bygone era, they couldn't make them happen in a new era where personality and talent needs to be above the marquee, because this is what the NBA pushed. The NBA pushes the individuals' names, not the teams, and you couldn't do that with the Spurs. So I look at the Spurs run. It's awesome. It's unbelievable. It's hard to think they were able to do this and change players as much as they did, kind of like the Patriots in the NFL, but it's a missed opportunity for the NBA because they couldn't cash in and make the Spurs into a dynasty that people talk about, that people wanted to see. All the lowest-rated finals had the Spurs in them. So, I mean, that's how I look at the Spurs. It's unfortunate, but it's a missed opportunity for the NBA.
No, you get the respect, right? And everybody looks at the way this team was built, the international scouting, and changing how that process was going in the NBA. Silent superstars. Look, the most exciting stuff was trying to get into the details when Tony Parker and Eva Longoria were on boats and stuff. I'll let you guys Google that for your own edification as you go through. Beyond that, you know, they're respected, not sexy. Right, you still had all the individual players for other teams, but they could hold them up as a model organization of this is what you need to do. There's no lulls. There's consistency. There is from the front office to the head coach on down. They can interchangeable parts and bringing in guys, young players that have bit roles and then grow. Like all of that is when you want to put the PowerPoint presentation together of, all right, here's how a franchise is supposed to run. That's great. Problem is, everybody wants the superstar that's on the commercials and maybe be that huge difference maker as opposed to, well, just steady, reliable, and efficient. And Pop being, well, Greg Popovich, who had all his comments and everything post-game today as the end of the run occurred. So, fantastic run, fantastic teamwork and all of those things that we want to write books about and tell people what they should do for best practices, but they didn't make you want to grab your popcorn and sidle up for 2.5 hours. Sorry.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are live right now in the bubble in Orlando. Basically, everybody just rolled over for the teams trying to get into the 8-9 game in the West, except for the Brooklyn Nets. Grizzlies thumped the Bucks, who play without Giannis for a suspension. No trouble as they win 119-106. They're in the 8-9 play-in game. The Jazz beat the Spurs, but the Spurs were eliminated already. Their 22-year run is at an end. The Suns dumped the Mavericks 128-102. They weren't playing their guys. Luka Doncic only plays 13 minutes, so the Suns... they won. They needed the Blazers to lose to the Nets tonight in order to get in the playoffs. The Blazers, the best team. Oh, they're so good. They're so good. Under 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter in the bubble, and the Nets lead the Blazers 120-117. LeBron James right now saying, oh, my God, Kyrie, if you can urge your team on from far away, I will tell the world the earth is flat, and they'll be so excited. Joining us now on the hotline, that was Break It All Down. Fox Sports 1, Bleacher Report, NBA insider extraordinaire, who actually does have, I think, 800 words coming on the actual shape of the Earth. And he said it's actually shaped like a basketball with the lines on the Earth, just like the lines in a basketball and the big Spalding logo across the middle. It is friend of the show, Rick Bucher. Rick, what's happening?
I actually don't have any time to write. I'm fighting my daughter, who doesn't care that I'm on the radio. She's like, Dad, turn it up. Turn the TV up. I'm like, I'm about to do a radio hit. Could you wait? She's like, go in the other room then.
What are you guys watching? What's on TV on Thursday night?
Full House.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Like the
John Stamos.
The reboot or the original?
The original, of course.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. No, we are. My son is a huge Blazers fan, Damian Lillard fan, so we are locked in. In fact, he's in a room. He closed himself into a room someplace and is watching by himself. He didn't want to be disturbed.
So wait a minute. So who's a bigger fan, your son with Damian Lillard or your daughter for John Stamos?
Actually, that whole thing with Full House, no. Who's your favorite player? DeMar DeRozan is her favorite player.
Oh, well, tell her I'm sorry about today.
Yeah. She's I don't think she's even aware that that they're already out. She's been working on her own game.
All right. So as you continue to fight for the television in your house, look, we talked about the Blazers and the trouble that they're in right now with Brooklyn. But really, this is all about who winds up coming out of 8-9, who the Lakers wind up facing. I've said, listen, even though the Suns are hot, they'll still take care of the Suns. The Blazers are a bit of a different animal. Where are you on the team that could pose the most problems for the Lakers in the first round?
Honestly, I think that the Suns could give them as much trouble as the Blazers. I just feel like, yes, the Blazers are much more experienced. The Suns are not. But this is the distinction with the bubble, and we're seeing it. You know, if you wonder why we're seeing so many role players step up and have big games, I think the lack of a crowd and this being more of a AAU tournament atmosphere than the typical NBA atmosphere is one of the reasons that the younger guys are actually more familiar playing this tournament style, not having to travel, not having just like all the pressures that normally come with being in end of the season. And let's face it, this seeding is sort of it's pre-playoff, but there's a lot of playoff atmosphere. Certainly this game is being played like it. So I think that makes a distinction. And I'm watching the Suns, like, it's not a mirage. It's not like just Devin Booker. When I was putting together my all bubble team, you know, I wanted to credit the Suns, but they've just got multiple guys playing so well that other than Devin Booker, it was really hard for me to pick. I mean, Darius Saric, Cam Johnson, DeAndre Ayton, Ricky Rubio, they're getting contributions from a lot of different places, and I think that the best teams and the teams that are going to wind up standing at the end are the teams that are built like that. You have to have a star, and they certainly have it in Devin Booker. But I believe to survive under these circumstances, you need to have depth. And what I'm seeing is that experience is less of a factor than maybe we normally believe it is under these circumstances.
Well, it's just like the fact, Rick, and we've talked about in the past, that you just have these teams that looked at it kind of like you college football teams with a bowl season, going, all right, we got a month of practices, let's make the most of it. And so you let them into this 22-team grid, and the young guys just went out and played, right? They're not worried about protecting anything. They're not looking at home. It's like, if we've got to do this for whatever the commitment is, go in and play hard. And now you've got the final game of the night actually having meaning in all of this.
Yeah, and keep in mind this too. Like, the young guys being in the bubble and being away from their families and their kids and all that stuff doesn't affect them quite the same way. As I just know, talking to players who have families or have young kids, like, that was it put them in a weird headspace because, you know, the NBA and everyone around them is bending over backwards to keep them COVID-free, virus-free. And meanwhile, their family's out there, and they're not there to sort of take the same precautions with them. It made them, you know, that's weighed heavy on certain guys. And not to say that the younger guys don't have family that they're concerned about, but it's a little bit different. So I think that may be a factor here, too. And look, the Suns certainly took advantage of the fact that nobody was expecting anything from them, and they got on a roll and they got it going. And they are just so full of confidence now. I mean, every guy, Cameron Payne, is just pulling up and draining threes. That can happen, but the ability to stifle that confidence generally happens when you get on the road and you get in front of a hostile crowd and you miss a couple, and now you're hesitating and you're hesitant to take that shot, and that's just not that type of atmosphere doesn't exist in the bubble.
NBA insider Rick Bucher with us here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Now, the other domino that fell today is the San Antonio Spurs, by virtue of how the games went. They fall to the Jazz, but it didn't matter. They were already eliminated. For the first time in 22 years, they missed the playoffs. Greg Popovich said after the game, look, I can't dwell on this. We're moving on, which is a typical Pop thing to say. But Rick, I say that to you. First time in 22 years the Spurs missed the playoffs. What comes to your mind, the first thing you want to say when you look back at this incredible run the Spurs had?
It's about damn time. Jesus, am I tired of that.
You sound like you bet against them to make the playoffs every year. No, I'm doubling down. This year they're not going to make it.
He's back
to
even.
No, but look, the longevity of it is really amazing, and it speaks, it's a testament to the fact that the Spurs, I mean, look, the system is designed to prevent teams from staying on top or being a playoff team that long, that there's more of a change. And so the Spurs defied that. And it's probably, they defied it twice because they are a small market team. And so you're certainly not supposed to be that viable for that long. But it speaks to the longevity of Greg Popovich. It speaks to consistency and having a system and really knowing what type of players are going to fit into it. And so they go out and they get certain guys who are willing to be coached and will play within that system. And what it allows them to do is to be to play their A game more nights than not during the regular season. Now, what we've seen for the last couple of years is it can always be a good regular season team, a playoff-worthy regular season team, but then they have not had the stars to take them to that next level since Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili left. And that's understandable, but they've made the best out of it. And I think actually the thing that I'm happy about the most is that Pop has got past the death of his wife, which certainly meant a lot to him, obviously rocked him. And there was a time where I talked to him and I know that he was thinking that, why should I do this anymore? What should I do? And it sounds like he has been rejuvenated, that he's finding basketball as, the salvation and a refuge, and a cause for him to continue on, and that he's getting some joy out of it, even if Tim and the guys that he was around for a long time are not there. So that's what I am really happy to see with him, is that it has meaning for him and that he's coming back. And certainly for him, it's not about making the playoffs or doing whatever. It's just getting to work and teach the game and coach guys.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon from the Geico Studios. On the hotline with us, Bleacher Report senior writer, FS1 analyst. You can catch him on Speak for Yourself during the week, the Bucher and Friends podcast, and each and every week with us here on the show. Friend of the show, Rick Bucher, RICBUCHER, on Twitter is where you find him. And as we look at the bubble coming to an end, we say it's a success in many ways, the putting up the big signs about zero positive tests and all of this as we move forward. Are you ready to make your finals prediction? Are we seeing any chaos here? I know, you've got your Raptors jersey on as we talk to you. but on the west side of thing, are we looking for some chaos?
Well, I honestly, I believe in the big picture. I believe in the teams, as I said, that have the depth and the versatility. And that's why I'm just struggling to believe that the Lakers, particularly the way they look, I know that everybody is buying into this, LeBron shuts it down and then gets it going and there's playoff LeBron. This is a different animal. I mean, we're talking about a 4-month layoff and we're talking about, five or six guys that are 30, in their 30s or older, trying to crank up that engine again. And a team that lost Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo, and that was really greater than the sum of its parts because it was able to utilize all of its parts. I'm not a believer that they're going to suddenly flip this big switch. I don't think they have the talent overall to be able to do it. So if the Lakers not getting to the conference finals is upsetting the cart, then yeah, I would say that's probably my biggest expectation, is that that is not going to happen. That I just I see somebody stopping them along the way because they don't have the requisite ability under these circumstances. And it's why I still believe in the Clippers more than anybody, because we haven't seen them at full strength, but they have so much depth and versatility. They have the necessary size, and teams like, you know, we've seen it with the Rockets. We've seen it with the Sixers. There are going to be injuries, and there are going to be more coming, and you're going to have to be able to survive, four or five games a week or two or more potentially without a very good player. And are they capable? You know, who's capable of doing that? You can go down the roster and find those teams that are or aren't.
So there it is, Rick Bucher's official pick, the Knicks over the Clippers in the NBA Finals. You heard it here first, picking a gentleman's sweep. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. Thanks so much for stopping by. We will talk to you next week as the playoffs are underway. We're going to talk playoff basketball in August with you for the next month.
How about that? I'm ready.
Madness.
All right, tell your daughter she can go watch Full House again. Oh, well, he's gone. Oh, apparently.
He's gone.
I don't know that that's going to be a fun conversation. I'm doing a hit on the radio, and you're asking me about Full House? Come on, man.
I'm out.
Well, it was a very special episode of Full House.
It's a very – next on a very special Blossom. Oh, Rick, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, and my son just came running into the room.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are asking me a question, and I'm watching Caris LeVert put up a shot that would either ruin my family for the next umpteen days or – make things simpatico. So that's why you didn't get a sign-off from me. My future right on the cusp. And by the way, let's pour one out for the Phoenix Suns. They go 8-0, and they don't get to play. It is – I mean, ultimately, if things were fair, this – and how fun would that be to watch the Suns and the Blazers go at it right now? Oh, my goodness, that would be fun. But hey, congratulations to the Blazers, and we'll see. I've Ja Morant was my rookie of the year and my rookie in the bubble. I just don't know that they have enough at this point to ultimately get it done. I give them great kudos to them, the fact that they eked one out today in order just to get to the play-in game.
All right, is your son still right there with you?
Matt.
Bring him in. We're going to give him his radio debut. I want him to tell us and tell everybody. We're on over 400 stations coast to coast. How did the game with Portland and Brooklyn come down to it? What happened the last 30 seconds?
Matt, you're on the radio. Tell him again what he's got to give you.
Matt, what happened the last 30? Tell the world. No one else knows yet. Tell everybody how the last 30 seconds of the game went down. Just don't curse.
The last 30 seconds of the Trailblazer game?
Yeah, what happened?
That was crazy. Caris LeVert kept driving. He took a terrible shot at the end. But before that, he was going at Gary Trent Jr. because Gary Trent Jr. had 5 fouls. And then they switched McCollum onto him. And he just kept getting fouled. He hit free throws.
You said the last 30 seconds, not the last 30 minutes.
That's the last 30 seconds. It was all free throws.
And then what happened in the final seconds? What about the final seconds?
3. Caris LeVert took a terrible shot. McCollum had great defense. And the Blazers win.
You are a future sports talk radio host, Matt.
He really channeled nice. You perfectly, Rick. That was like when you were saying Zion was terrible defensively. He just channeled that energy.
Keep in mind, he's out of his mind right now.
Caris LeVert took
a
terrible shot.
I'm amazed that he could string sentences together right now.
Oh, the Bucher household. Hey, Matt's going to be a star. He he's going to be a sports talk radio host. Right away when he can say somebody took a terrible shot, that's awesome. You'll be in this business in 5 years.
No, I mean, how is that? Caris LeVert has, like, the game to keep the Nets in it, and all he wants to talk about is he took a terrible shot at the end.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Beautiful. Sports talk radio at its finest.
Well, that's it, right? Carry you to get into it, and then he plays, well, someone would say hero ball because he didn't even look at his teammates in that final set. I'm taking the last shot.
Oh, boy. Great stuff. Great stuff for the Bucher family, both Rick and Matt
Bucher. That's awesome.
Rick, thanks a bunch, buddy. And thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate you coming on and telling us. We'll talk to you.
See you, Rick.
You got it. All right.
Oh, we had to use that drop. Caris LeVert took a terrible shot. Tyshirt turned that into a drop for us for the rest of the night so we can check in case anybody is just tuning in new and doesn't know how the game ended.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The drama is over in the bubble, and here's where things sit. Yes, we have, you know, four games tomorrow, but really everything that was settled tonight. The 8-9 game will be the Blazers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Everybody but the Nets completely laid down tonight. So all the teams that were really in it, the four teams that were in it till the end, didn't get the best basketball. Clearly, Memphis tonight, look, they had been struggling. This is a team that's not been able to do anything really in the bubble. And I didn't think they'd make the 8-9 game the way they were playing. All they did was lose. But Milwaukee, playing without Giannis, didn't put up a fight. You know, starters played about 25 minutes. Everybody played 25 minutes. Memphis blows out Milwaukee. So Memphis clinches a spot in the 8-9 game. Phoenix just rolls over Dallas. Porzingis doesn't play. Luka Doncic plays 13 minutes. They win 128-102. They go undefeated in the bubble. With that win, that eliminates the San Antonio Spurs, who missed the playoffs for the first time in 22 seasons. So the Phoenix Suns have to wait until the Blazers game with the Nets goes final, and the Nets decide we're playing this one out. It comes down to the final play of the game, and Caris LeVert, who we got the play-by-play from Rick Bucher's son, Matt, told us LeVert took a terrible shot at the end, and it wound up a step-back shot from just inside the three-point line. Doesn't go. Portland wins it 134-133. They go to the 8-9 game against Memphis, and the rules are if you're the 8 seed, you win one game, you move on. If you're the 9 seed, you have to win again. So this is what the drama is going to pass for over the weekend here in the NBA, Blazers and Memphis in the 8-9. So again, I just want to remind you, just because we talked about it about a half hour ago, this is the victories in sports that we have needed. I'm not being schmaltzy. I'm not being too over the top and maudlin and crying and not one of those guys who drinks and starts crying because, oh, this is sad. But this is a victory that all of us need. The way the NBA has played in the bubble, this tremendous success that it's been where we get drama and we can forget about COVID-19 because the NBA has made us forget about it because everybody's at 0% and we're moving on and we're playing basketball. This is the sports victory that we all needed. Everything. Our fan. This is something now. Finally, I believe all of us sports fans can say, you know what? I'm all in on the NBA. This is real. For 5 minutes, I'm forgetting about my life and forgetting about social distancing and politics and everything else about it. And boy, tonight the NBA, this drama coming into this night, COVID-19 has always hung over everything going on in sports. Not to the fact that we thought it was going to go away, because the best news is that every sport has tried to come back and they're going to play it out. Baseball's going to drag themselves across the finish line. The NBA and the NHL are going to prance across the finish line because they've taken care of it. Well, they're prancing because they're in the bubble. But COVID has been over us for so long, and it's a part of our everyday life, and it's a huge part of our everyday life. And for the NBA to get to this point where they can figure everything out and put on a great show and get to the point where, look at this drama night we had in the NBA from four different teams' perspectives and all the big storylines coming. Well, Memphis is not a big storyline, but with Portland and the Suns and the Spurs, I think we all needed this. We all needed a night like this. We all needed to have something where we can now look to a little bit of normalcy at least. Because while the world is not normal, for one night now, and I think going forward in sports, when we talk about the NBA playoffs, and the NHL playoffs continuing to go on, we can have about as normal an experience as we expect and want to and deserve going forward, because the NBA and the NHL, I want to give them a lot of credit too, but the NBA, you know, the popularity, you can't deny it. The NBA has figured things out. And when you hear sports say, we need to play for the people, right? We need to give people a good thing to watch. You know, that's just, you know, code for saying, we got to make money, right? You know, it's nice. The people will watch so we can make money, you know? And so I understand that part of it. But this is something that the NBA has given this. This is like a gift the NBA has given us, this drama tonight going forward. Finally, August 13th, we can kind of get a little bit more of, okay, the turbulence is kind of slowing down a little bit. And sports-wise, we are now locked in to what's going to be a great final 2 months here in the NBA. Same thing with the NHL. MLS is starting again. Major League Baseball's 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. And for all of the COVID-19 hanging over it, not that we've put it to bed as far as sports goes, but it really has receded. And it's taken a little while, but we're into the flow of the games. We're into what's going on. And tonight was that night, that plant the flag night in the NBA.
Well, and that's why, you know, I've been adamant and pounding the table of, you know, the data and take the best practices and learn from all of these different experiences. The MLS's back tournament, what did they do? Oh, you came in with positives, get out. Go home. And what did they do? They pulled off, what was it, 51 games in that tournament down there? And now they'll look to reopen in their home cities and in their home venues here in the next week or two and roll from there. We look at the bubble. We look at the Quarantine Act and its effect on the NHL and giving us another major league team in Buffalo for a season, as odd as that is. But best practices, take the learnings from all of the different leagues that have had their steps forward, right? Dana White, remember when they had their first efforts saying, hey, reach out. I'll give you the data. Let's share. Let's go into the information and share all this through. And that's why with college football, I've been reticent to say, hey, you got to pull the plug. I understand the legalese and liabilities and all those. But, you know, you've got students back on campuses in a lot of cases, and you've got to try to take the learnings as you go. But the more you do that, obviously folks are going to be more excitable on the, well, they're not really amateur athletes anymore. With the NBA, guys took it seriously. Hopefully there'll be a tell-all book eventually of all the thwarted attempts to get people through during the bubble part of it. Because you know that, yeah. During the prelims.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to get like a bunch of Instagram models to write IG, our month in the bubble, or somebody who had spent an entire month in the bubble with a player undetected. You know,
maybe put them in a player's jersey and they were able to do a better job than they did in Seattle. But we'll get into that a little later. But when it comes down to it, right, is – you found a way through, and I'm sure you got a lot of guys calling, you know, for a little bit of help, you know, the mental check-ins and all of those important things as they've been away from their families. But we got some really good basketball, some meaningful basketball, and we watched all the way through the end of the restart. You had games on the final day that mattered. And if you told me that a month ago that it would be this exciting day to day and you'd still have people at the edge of their seats, not to mention the gamblers who had something to lay a few dollars on while they're home, that I would have been shocked, right? That you don't have any positive tests, that you've got everybody bought in and you had this much excitement when really coming in, this was the only spot we were concerned about, right? Was the last spot in the West, and that it played out as it did. Is a beautiful thing and a win for them. Quarantine life, you know, right now my Blackhawks are struggling, but, you know, they made the playoffs. So I take the victory and that we got the NHL rolling and that I have sports from the time I wake up to the moment I lay my head on the pillow each night. I mean, that's a gift. Altruism aside, because, look, it's all about making money and keeping their money flowing. We're not idiots. But you know what? We'll take it as the gift if that's what they want to sell and they want to package it and put a little bow on it and a card that says from us to you. Right now, I'm eating it up. Let's go.